When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi there. It's Farm Girl. Welcome to Talk Farm to Me's Five Live. Today, we've got an amazing guest with us all the way from Grand Saline, Texas. Her name is Jessica Kirksey, and she is a pig farmer. We've got a lot of great questions, so much enthusiasm for pigs. Everybody is asking a million questions. And so I've organized a lot of them, but that does not mean that you don't have space for a question or two. I'm going to go and I'm going to invite Jessica to join us. You guys should follow Jessica. Her farm is called Little D's Farm. We're going to meet Jessica and we're going to talk all about her pigs. They are called Cooney Cooney pigs. I just invited her again and I think she's here.
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
Wow, I see the sun is shining in Texas.
It is, but it's cold today. It was 28 this morning, which is pretty cold for here.
Wow. All right, y'all. Well, she is in Grand Saline, which is just about an hour east of Dallas. Am I right?
Yes, ma'am.
Fantastic. Well, I like it when you call me ma'am. I grew up in North Carolina, so.
Did I even call my little girls ma'am? So.
Excellent. Well, super excited to be with you here today. And folks have been sending in tons and tons of questions. So we are five live. We are asking you five questions live, but we may sneak one in here or there. Just get started because I think what would be really helpful is for you to give us just a little overview of your farm, when you started, how many pigs, what kind, what you're doing there. Go for it.
Well, I started about 3 years ago. I brought in a Cooney Cooney from a breeder in Ennis, Texas. Her name is Tiffany Cook. She got me started with these pigs, and I absolutely fell in love. Prior to that, I was a veterinary technician for over 12 years in Dallas. So I've constantly had something to do with animals, but I've also grew up on a farm in Athens, Texas with my grandfather. But with these pigs, I definitely have found a source of pork that is self-sustainable. They're so much lower input when feed requirements are there. And they're just a lot easier to manage than other breeds of pigs. So they've just become such an easy, aspect for pork. And so it's just the niche that I like, and I like the easygoing, not a lot of hassle, and they've brought that to my small farm.
So I understand that the Cooney Cooney pig is from New Zealand, and yes. And that maybe they're a little bit smaller, and is that what you're talking about in terms of management? Give us a little bit of the routine for what you're doing with your pigs.
They are definitely smaller. They usually, I'd say an adult Cooney Cooney at their full age peak, which is around 4 years of age, can get up to about 450, 500 pounds. But right now, it seems that everyone is trying to get back to where they were when they were in New Zealand, which they were used for pork. There was a time where they were brought, when they were originally brought here to the United States, where the pet market got involved. And so they were trying to breed a smaller pig. And a lot of us breeders are trying to get them back to the point where they can be at a 200-pound butcher weight at a year of age. So with them only being 200 pounds at a year of age, they're a breed that you can actually butcher yourself at home. You're not constantly waiting in line. I know that just trying to get a pig into be processed last week, I had to call around, and I had to beg and plead to get into an actual processor, and just because the weight is insane right now based on everyone trying to become more self-sufficient. And I think that it's just a growing market for beef, pork, cap, you know, anything that has to do with being able to provide and sustain for your own family.
Super interesting. Well, let's just talk about that for a second, because these pigs, they are being picked up a lot by folks who are homesteading. You are selling pigs themselves, live pigs, to homesteaders for their own farms, but you're also harvesting meat and selling it from your farm. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And how many pigs do you have, and approximately how many do you harvest each year?
I have about, including piglets, 52 right now.
Whoa.
Last year, we only processed 7, so it's something that we're going with, just based on the fact that it takes longer to grow this breed out than it would, you know, a Hampshire or a Yorkshire. So it's a slow process to get going, but you also have a pig that's got a very nice marbled meat because it can be grass fed and finished on grass. It's just the breed itself has got a better quality of pork because you're not just pouring grain into the pig constantly.
And so what happens if you are pouring grain into your pig, for example?
It's a lard breed pig. You're going to have an overabundance of fat, you know, and so when you get that, you're not going to have the quality cuts that you would have if you were actually growing them out on grass, growing them out on hay. And so by doing that, I think that, you know, you're allowing their body to process things the way that it was meant to process, and they're not getting that giant cap of fat encompassing the entire body.
Wow, super interesting. So one of the questions that we got before we got here today from some of our followers was definitely about the comparison of these pigs to other pigs. But in particular, how do these pigs compare to other animals in terms of their environmental footprint?
They're a really good regenerative breed. They do not root. So a lot of when I do my rotational grazing, my rotational grazing, based on the fact that I have a very wooded place, we get acorns from, you know, October until January. So that's a feed input that they get, but they work my property constantly. And so they're constantly improving their, you know, just manure alone is improving the quality of the soil. I have a really iron ore rich soil. So it's almost like clay and rock. And within 2 years, it's just beautiful black soil. So, I mean, they do improve the quality of your property. It is a hotter manure, so it can't compost as quickly as others do. But it is one that can definitely be worked with. You can definitely improve a lot of your property and your land just by using them because they're a grazing pig.
Amazing. You can just see there are so many details to farming. It's not just having pigs, it's dealing with the land and the soil and what they're eating. I love that they're eating acorns. That reminds me a little bit of Piglet and Winnie the Pooh. And I think that, you know, I think you're really giving us a great example of how complicated being a farmer is, and you have veterinary skills, so that certainly helps. You said that you fell in love with the pigs when you got them 3 years ago, and I had a ton of questions about pig personalities and how you interact with the pigs, how they interact with each other and with other animals. Can you talk about pig personality a little bit for us?
Absolutely. I think that getting pigs as piglets, you are capable of, you know, allowing them to become more personable, more social. This breed itself are a lot like dogs. They're just hilarious. They're very smart. I have a lot of buyers that'll buy a castrated male to have as a pasture pet. They've taught them tricks.
Oh my gosh, like what kinds of tricks?
There are so many people that have them sit and stay and do I mean, they're just a very smart breed. My pigs are on an alarm clock like my dogs, too. They know what time feeding time is. I mean, I know a lot of animals are like that, but these guys know. I have a pig named Mariah Carey. She literally will have a conversation with me. I mean, they're a smart breed of, you know, just pigs in general are smart. But with the Cooney, I can say that they're just very docile. that I don't have to worry about my kids being with them. Any of them that have ever had any type of behavioral issues, I do call out of my breeding program. That's something that I think that genetics really do play a big part in. And I think that it's really important for us to get rid of the anything with any breeding, you know, get rid of the problem childs and, you know, try to continue to breed those that are providing you quality when it comes to mothering abilities and things like that.
So interesting. Interesting that you brought up mothering abilities, because I know that it's piglet season on your farm.
It is. I just had 4 litters. I lost Queenie, which was not easy, but, you know, she definitely, she was a great mom. She was only a year and a half old, so it was a very shocking loss, but she...
I'm so sorry.
Okay. It's a part of it. I mean, it was just unexpected, especially for her age, and I really think it was the fact that she had 12 piglets. That's a pretty large for a cooney. Usually they have around, I would say average is 8. So this breed is not one to have 14 or 15 all the time. That's also something with this breed. We work to improve teat count, because the more teat counts, the more piglets they're capable of handling.
So a pig can have different number of teats?
Yes, ma'am. And also,
wow.
Alignment of the teats is important, because that allows the piglets to stack on the 2 rows so that they can nurse appropriately. So those are things that we're trying, everyone, you know, that deals with this breed are trying to work on and improve. And it's also something that your boar will contribute to. So, you know, you don't want a boar that's got 8 uneven teat lines, because those genetics will pass forward to the females as well and the piglets.
Wow, that's super interesting. I just wanted to say to everybody out there who's, if you're joining now, we're here with Jessica Kirksey from Little D's Farm. You guys can follow her there at Little D's Farm on Instagram. She's got a lot of really interesting information, and we've been talking about her cooney pigs and comparing them to some other pigs and different kinds of meat and how you feed them. If you missed the beginning, you can always go to IGTV and see this interview after we're finished here. We still have a few questions left. And right now we're in the middle of a breeding discussion. We're talking about babies. Now, are you just breeding once a year? Is that how it works? You have a time when babies are coming, or does that happen at multiple times during the year?
Trying for twice a year, trying for early, like January to March, and then I will actually have another spring litter. Summer is horrible on this breed, just because they have the smushed up, turned up snouts. They do have a harder time breeding. So in the heat, which we get a ton of in Texas, they have a very hard time with breathing. They're constantly in the mud, so you have a harder time for these mamas to get out of the mud to feed. And so I've definitely learned that with any type of heat and humidity, it is better to breed these guys so that they actually farrow in the cooler months.
All right. Well, let's talk about the breeding process.
All right. Well, nobody's actually established any artificial insemination for them. They're such easy keepers that it's just simpler to have a boar. Our boars are literally ran together. They don't fight. I mean, everyone has a pecking order at first, but they don't fight. They're very gentle. They're just easy keepers. And honestly, with my boars, they never ever take in more than a cup of feed a day. They can, keep a very good body condition by doing so. And it's just this breed alone, we have not utilized artificial insemination. They're just too easy going. I don't even know. I know that with artificial insemination in like commercial breeds, you have a more aggressive boar. That's what you would want when you are obtaining samples. And with this breed, you're not going to get that aggressive behavior that you would get with the larger commercial breeds.
Wow. Super interesting. Because I do hear about a lot of artificial insemination out there. So you're just putting, do you keep your boars separate from the sows and then you put them together at breeding time, or?
Usually my boards are kept separate. Actually, right now I don't have anyone that would actually, there are some sows that are with boars that are pregnant. I don't have to worry about that. Honestly, everyone could run together all the time if I had one boar and it would be no issue, but I do have more than one. So right now my boars are separated. And that way I can do planned breedings based on the different bloodlines and things that are entailed with this breed.
Wow, super interesting. All right, so first you breed the pigs and they grow up, and then let's talk about harvesting. I know that there are, you know, there are USDA requirements for harvesting animals, but there are some loopholes, and I'd love to talk a little bit about that.
Yes, ma'am. You definitely have the opportunity to sell in different ways. You can sell your pig and raise it up for the person on your farm and then have it sent to the processor and then pick it up themselves. That is a loophole. So that will allow you to do what you need to do, and it can go without going to an actual USDA facility. There are some new stipulations here in Texas that are being talked about that are allowing people to actually take different things meat-wise into farmers markets and things like that. I know that I raise quail and meat rabbits too. Those are two things that are being allowed to be processed at home and then sold to the public. I don't know that you would actually be able to sell to a grocer or a restaurant. I have not gotten to that point, but I know that stipulations are changing and there's always loopholes. You're working with a breeder or you're working with someone looking for pork, talk to them, because every region has different legalities.
So interesting. And is it just the USDA facilities, or is it other facilities as well that are experiencing a backlog because people are raising their own animals now for meat?
It's everybody. I know that there's a lot of mobile butchers that are actually popping up. Those are things that you might want to check into if you are on a giant wait list. I do know that the USDA facilities, which actually will stamp their, you know, seal on your packaging, label them from your farm, and then that way you can sell legally, they are way more backed up than the actual, you know, smaller guys that will process for an individual basis so that you can feed your family, you can feed friends and things of that nature.
Wow, that's really interesting too. So you guys out there who are watching, right now, if you have any questions, I know last week two people asked questions at the very last minute and I missed it. So if you have a question that you want to add for Jessica about pigs, about their personalities or harvesting or breeding them, or any questions about her particular breed, just saying, now's a good time. And I do want to thank you all for the great comments. And Jessica, I'm just sharing with you that people are like, oh, wow, lots of wows. And you're so smart and so knowledgeable about all of this and sharing information that a lot of people didn't realize was a part of farming. Tell us a little bit about what your daily routine is on your farm.
Oh, I have this internal alarm clock that goes off around 5 a.m. I have to have a quiet time with my coffee before I do anything. Unfortunately, I have a couple that as soon as I hear the door open, they start screaming. Pigs scream when they're hungry.
And really?
Yes, they're very vocal. It kind of probably sounds like a slaughterhouse around 5:30 at my house every morning. And then once everyone gets fed, everybody kind of calms down and you don't hear them again till 3 o'clock. Then I have two little girls and I get them up ready for school and get all that going, and then I come back and I do a check of every animal multiple times a day. That allows me to ensure that, you know, we don't have any type of, pigs get a lot of respiratory issues, especially with the fluctuating temperatures. It lets me monitor those things. I guess once you start doing this long enough, you get an eye for things. And so it kind of lets you evaluate pigs on a daily basis. Not every single pig, regardless of what breed you're raising, will have good conformation. You may have one that has horrible pasterns and their feet turn up. Those are not pigs that need to be in the breeding pool. Those are pigs that need to be in your pork pen. When you are trying to breed for something of quality to become a breeder itself, you definitely start seeing the good aspects, and it just allows me every day to go around and make those evaluations over and over again and make sure that they're consistent.
Wow, super. So are you're feeding them twice a day though? Is that how it works?
Cows and piglets on the farm, so they have to be supplemented, period. The pigs require a large portion of lysine in their diet. Lysine is an omega-3 fatty acid. It is very important for growth and development. Without those, you're just going to have a poorly grown pig. So lysine is a very important supplement that I provide for my pigs on a daily basis. I also add in, I supplement with a little bit of black oil sunflower seeds. That's why everyone always is asking, why are your pigs so clean? My pigs are shiny and clean because of the black oil sunflower seeds. And I make sure they do not have parasites. I have been reading over and over again, my pig looks like crap. What is going on with it? Your pig has mites. Treat for mites. I don't care if you believe in all organic, anything. Chemicals need to be used for parasites, period. I fed over 1,000 pounds of pumpkin last year. People swear by pumpkin seeds. It doesn't work. I am telling you this because you will have a better quality pig that grows faster, that is healthier, if you are treating for parasites, period. Just do it. You will thank me later. You will have better looking pigs. So it affects them very much.
That's great information. Yes, all of your animals are getting excellent care. I'm curious what you have to say to the folks out there who are maybe thinking about getting a pig. What do they have to know before they get started?
Number one, this breed or any breed of pig, they need more than one. Pigs are social herd animals. They want to have a companion that is the same type of companion. You know, they want a pig companion. So don't ever just get one. You'll be happier. They'll be happier. You know, and with anything, any animal that's happier is going to produce a better quality meat, period. It's not going to be stressed. It's not going to have constant issues. Those things are factors. You want your animals to have quality of life, regardless of whether you're going to process them or not. Give them a good life and then let them do their job. And I think that that's something that when you're trying to do this and become self-sustainable, allows you to separate that one bad day from the rest of the quality of life that that pig has had. So I think that's important.
Thank you very much. When I first found you, one of the things that impressed me was this video that I found, and it was in early March, and it was a special plea to eaters and shoppers out there to shop small and to really support small farms. And that small farms, while everyone was in a tailspin at the outset of COVID, you know, I thought that you made a really impassioned plea to make sure that people were considering small farms. And we had a question from one of our followers who was curious about something potentially positive that's come out of COVID for your farm.
I would say that people are they're wanting to become more educated and self-sufficient. So I guess it's impacted me because I'm allowed to educate those. So I've had more people reach out to me. So whether I'm selling a pig or not, I'm allowed to give advice. I'm allowed to make people understand. And I'm also allowed to kind of get them kickstarted so that, you know, they can actually start to try to provide for themselves. And I think that's so important right now. I think that there is going to come a time that things are going to become so expensive, and you're going to want to be able to have some source of a garden, proteins, whatever it may be, so that, you know, you're not just high and dry and not being able to provide for yourself and your family.
Been a huge trend during COVID for people to be starting, no matter where they live in a high-rise building or they have a little backyard, they're starting a garden or getting chickens, which is, you know, warning, gateway animal to getting all kinds of farm animals. You've given us a ton to think about with regard not just to Cooney Cooney pigs, but to pigs in general, both from how they can benefit the land, but also, you know, just their charming personalities. So I just want to go back for a second because one of our followers was asking a follow-up question on the breeding front. How long are pigs breeding for, and when does a pig need to be retired from breeding?
I've seen a lot of the breeders that have been, there's a lot of people that still have some breeders at 9 years of age. If you're keeping their condition to where they're not obese, they're not fat, they're just proportionate to where they need to be, I would say around 7-8 years of age. I personally don't think I would go past that point. They it's at that point time to retire. I think that also too, that a lot of times with this breed, people are trying to keep some of the original lines in the rotation, and you're going to start to see those fade out within the next year or two. With this breed alone, you're going to see probably around 7-8 years. I know that with Hamps and Duroc's growing up, we usually retired them around 2.5 years. So there's a big difference with the two, but I also think there's also a big difference in the cost of the two.
And what do you mean by that? Just compare the cost for us.
Cooney Coonies that I raise are registered. They're DNA verified through two different registries. UC Davis in California actually does the DNA registration process. So there's a lot more involved, I guess you could say, than actually with a commercial breed, because you can go and buy a commercial breed pig anywhere for $50 to $200. I know that with this breed, for a registered stock, you're going to pay between $500 and $1,000 a pig.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
And you feel like you're making money back on the other end after you harvest the pig?
Yeah, because, I mean, like last night, I mean, I'm selling breakfast sausage for $7 a pound. So I don't think that, you know, you're going in any wrong direction by processing the pig. I definitely think that, I guess, and I don't want anyone to get offended or anything else, but Queenie was processed, and I ended up getting 157 pounds of pork, which is a small yield for a smaller pig, but I'm happy with 157 pounds. I think that, you know, you're definitely capable of making money with your pork. But I also don't think that with this breed, you'll ever do it in a huge, like you'll never have a huge pork farm. You'll be able to provide on a smaller scale.
Right. And lots of questions are coming in. I know that you said that your pigs are about full grown at 1 year.
We are trying to get everyone to 200 pounds at 1 year of age.
And okay, so at 200 pounds in a year. So is that when you harvest them at 1 year, or?
Usually between 12 and 15 months is when that's occurring.
Okay. This has been super, super interesting, as I knew it would be. We have talked about so many interesting issues, and I actually think you all definitely need to follow Jessica at Little D's Farm on Instagram. You get a pig a day at the very least, and right now you're going to get a lot of really cute piglets, and it's not always fun and games on the farm. You heard about the loss of her beloved Queenie, and that was a really bad day for Jessica and for Queenie. So Jessica gives the truth, as you can see, just from talking to her here. You should follow me here at XOXO Farm Girl for more Talk Farm to Me fun and other stories from my farm. You can follow Talk Farm to Me proper just to get information about Five Live series and some other series that we're doing all about farmers. Really want to know what you guys are up to, how you do it. And Jessica, you've been an amazing guest. I have one question for you before you go. You get up at 5, have your coffee, and after your really long day of checking your 52 pigs and all the piglets and everything that's happening on your farm, your two little girls, what do you do for yourself? Cookies or cocktails?
No, I eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich around 10 o'clock every night. That whole milk every night.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to give that a try. Why not? I love peanut butter and jelly. It used to be what I'd say if I was on death row, I would have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich as my final meal. So I'm not. And I think we're going to have one tomorrow night in your honor. Thank you so much for joining us. You will find this full video on IGTV at XOXO Farm Girl. So you can check out anything you missed. You do not want to miss a word that Jessica said today. Good luck with your pigs, and we will keep following.
Thanks, y'all. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.